Well, first thing I want to say is water is for sissies. If I was going to drink anything up here, I'd want some good coffee, black coffee.
Amen.
No, I really came. I was glad that the pastor said that he wanted me and Brother Jimmy to hold the service this morning at least. We don't know if we will tonight, but we are this morning. And I had full intentions of giving Brother Jimmy a haircut. But it looks like somebody's already scalped him. And I listened to him and Brother Ronnie Jones preached a week ago over at Brother Shepherd's. And he got scalped over there. His pastor worked him over. Oh, preachers know when you got another preacher behind you, that clock's always turning. Brother Jimmy would say, I got to get done here. And he just kept on going. I got to get done here. He just keep on going. He knew that preacher was coming right behind him. I told Brother Austin, he's done said that three times.
What a
blessing. I appreciate him so much. It's so good to be here. Thing about that, I've got a mansion. You know, when you think about going into that thing and really look at that, streets of gold, pure, so pure they're transparent. That, I mean, the best gold we see is got that yeller in it, and that's impurity. But them gates, y'all, I got to think about them gates the other day. One pearl per gate. Now, that's a big city with some big gates. And God's got a big oyster somewhere. And that pearl takes a long time to get growed. I mean, you know, one pearl per gate. That's what it says. One several pearl. Man. You know, we really need to be quickened. We talk about getting excited. I like Bible words, quickened. Quickened means alive. Man, most church services, ours, you know, we're deader than last year's bird nest. And I don't mean working it up in the flesh. I mean really, you know, God wants us to bear down. He does his part. His is the biggest part. But we got a part in it. And he wants us to bear down. He wants us to come before his presence gladly, with rejoicing, looking forward. And if we don't have that, might as well not lie about it. Just confess it. Oh, God, I don't. And he gives it. I mean, you can't serve God and do anything without grace. Paul said, I labor more abundantly than all, yet not I, but the grace of God which is with me. Nothing is done in the service of God without the grace of God being there to do it. And so if we don't have it, and Sunday after Wednesday after Sunday, a lot of times we don't, we have to ask. We have to confess and ask God. I want it. I want that. So may God help us. I appreciate the message on this morning on search the scriptures. I've used that myself many times. Salvation is not in the Bible alone. The Bible reveals salvation that's in Christ Jesus. Appreciate the good message. We're going to be in Ephesians. Turn in your Bible to the book of Ephesians. Talking about that Maranatha. I think most of what we need to say today when we meet people is anathema. Maranatha. What's in there. If any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha. That means cut off. So, anyway, Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to read a few verses here. I got just a little tweaking message maybe God will bless us with. Ephesians 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Chapter 2, verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Chapter 3, verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. We'll quit reading those verses there. I want to preach on heavenly places. Heavenly places. I like to think about heavenly places. There's more than one aspect. There's the real third heavens where the Lord is. God's sitting in the third heavens, and there's the first heavens and the second heavens. And you got to get past those two heavens to get into the third heavens. You got to get beyond all that. The devil's operating in the lower heavens. He's the prince of the power of air. Ephesians 6 talks about that. We want to get into the heavenly places. If you're here and you're saved, you've got that assurance, salvation, security in your heart, you have a desire for heaven. And until we get there, we're hunting some heavenly places down here. I want some heavenly places. I think that's one reason this meeting. We come down here, we like to visit, fellowship. But if you take heaven out of it, you take what we have in the Lord and the blessings, the spiritual blessings that are in Christ Jesus, I'd really rather be fishing. I loved fish. Hadn't fished in 8 years ever since Jacob moved down. A lot of things changed my life when Brother Jacob moved down. So I quit fishing. But if we don't have spiritual blessings in Christ to make it a heavenly place, let's just do something else. I tried that dead church stuff. I had that grudge of necessity. I knew what that stuff was. You drag in and drag out, and drag in and drag out, and the preacher keeps working you over about, don't you want to do this? Man, ain't this great? And you sit there and smile and say, yes, it is. And down in your heart, you know it ain't, because you ain't got no heavenly places. What we're doing here, what this whole meeting is about, is looking for some heavenly places. I mean, the Christian, when Jesus come down here, his desire was to do the will of his Father, and then do what? Go back to his Father in heaven. Now, the apostles, his disciples, they didn't want him to go back. I wouldn't want him to go back either. But he said, it's expedient for you that I go to my Father. And I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send you some heaven down here in the person of the Holy Ghost. And I tell you what we need to secure our hearts and give us some assurance is that witness, that Holy Spirit. I mean, we need, and the Word and the Spirit agree. And we need to try the spirits, whether they be of God. And God lets us go through some trials, see what we're made of. He says to prove you, whether you'd obey me or not, whether you really mind. And a lot of times when the storms of life come in, it makes us know who our anchor's in, makes us know what rock we're standing on, what we don't have. And that's why he does that. Storms drive out a lot of stuff. The storm gets rid of a lot of chaff. A lot of times, this old coronavirus stuff. And I mean, I know people, talk to people in the church world, and they're from this end of the spectrum, way over to this end of the spectrum on that deal. But one thing it's done, it's blowed a lot of chaff out. A lot of people have got out of church that ain't, and I'm not talking about here, don't know about this one, but in a lot of places I know that ain't never going back again. That little thing just blowed through, and they're gone. And Satan run them out, and they're scared to death, and they're masked up and double masked and listen to Joe Biden. Listen, folks, I told my wife, she's getting on me down here in Walmart this morning. We had to go to Walmart. I ain't going to tell you why we had to go down there. But I felt all right doing it because Jacob was down there too, so it didn't matter. But anyway, we was down there this morning, that hotel over there gave us a little thing of fruit, them little fruit cups. Man, I remember that when I was a kid. Mom would open them things up, and I'd eat that fruit and drink that juice. I like that juice. And so she went in there and come out. She said, how was that? And I said, it was nasty. I said, I hate it because there wasn't nothing else there, and I won't be thankful before God. But I said, they messed that up. She said, oh, honey. I said, look, they used to put sugar in that. And she said, well, they're just trying to help you. They're in it for your health. I said, listen to me. That same crowd kills babies, promotes sodomy, says global warming and Mother Earth. That I don't believe nothing that crowd says. Just put the sugar in there and it's nice and good and sweet and it preserves it, and that was good for my grandma. Good, my daddy's 89. That's what he ate all his life. It'd be good enough for me. My point is, I don't believe nothing that crowd says. That coronavirus stuff, it's there and it's real, but they used it. And I don't want to get in that because I'm trying to preach pretty heavenly places this morning. Yeah, sweet. I won't try to be sweet. And so, heavenly places. Now, before we can even know anything about heavenly places, and the natural man can't get that. He don't care. All the natural man knows about heavenly places is going to church, and he's not connected with heaven. And so he's just, you know, he's miserable. Destruction and misery is in their way. And the way of peace they know not. So he don't know nothing about a heavenly place because he don't know nothing about a hellish place. And a true born-again Christian knows something about hell before they know something about heaven. Or at least at the same time. And let me put this in too to straighten a bunch of preachers out. Which they're, you know, by the way, God has chose you to start the fight this week on Sunday morning. That other crowd coming later on, that's the reserve bunch. We get the privilege of fighting, you know, meeting the enemy straight up that before the reserves ever get here. They hold them back because they can't take that hot fire right off the bat. And so, but, you know, folks, listen to me. Any preacher that tries to win a soul by getting them to understand something is going against the Scriptures. The Bible says there is none that understandeth. You can't understand your way into salvation. All you, matter of fact, all you know is I don't understand it. It's a mystery. The mystery of godliness. The mystery. What is it? What is mystery of Christ? Well, it ain't a mystery to me. And it ain't a mystery to you if you know Him. But it's a mystery to them that don't know Him. They can't understand. And so what we need to quit doing is trying to get somebody to think their way into this by the Scriptures and just showing them the Scriptures and reading them some verses. They don't understand that. Don't mean nothing to them. What they need to do is believe it. I don't know how I'm going to be raptured out, but I believe it. You can't tell somebody how to be born again. I mean, Jesus Himself told Nicodemus, He said, how can these things be? If Jesus can't get him to understand it, then we ain't sure ain't going to get him to understand it. He told Nicodemus to understand it, not thou these things. No, he didn't understand them. But he could believe on Him whom He sent. Okay? So we know, we want heavenly places. We desire the heavenly places because we've known something about them hellish places. That prodigal son, he was preaching on there a while ago, he knew something about that hog pen conviction. I mean, down there you're wallering with them pigs. It's nasty. It's bad. You see yourself. And here's the first thing you say, and this is talking about this singing. A lot of these songs today are patterned after how worthy we are and how good we are and promoting ourselves. And by the way, while I'm on singing, let me say this. I don't know who the executive decision was made by to not put Jimmy's face on that CD cover, but that was a good decision. Man, I looked at that cover, and that was a good looking. That's good. And his face wasn't on there. Amen. But a lot of this thing today is promoting how worthy we are. Let me say something to you. You will never be worthy of heaven. We're not worthy. The only one worthy of it is the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not worthy. I wasn't worthy when I was lost. I'm not worthy now. But by the grace of God, He's going to take me there. And so we know something about hellish places. I was on my way to hell and didn't want nobody bothering me. And when I'd see the local pastor who became my best friend, my father in the faith, when I saw him, I'd go around him. I didn't want him messing with me. I was sinning, liking my sin, and didn't want him bothering me. And so, but the Lord awakened me. God draws you. God, you know, I tell people all the time, we went to a service up in Oklahoma City a couple of weeks ago, and there was a back full of sinners. I'm talking about never been to church type folks. Been sitting there, and then they asked me to preach, so I got up there and I said, listen, I am a debtor to you. I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, so that as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you. I owe it to you to tell you what I'm fixed to tell you. God makes us liable for our world, whatever my world is, my children, my family, my acquaintances, my workmates. I owe it to you to tell you about the good news of the grace of God that's in Christ Jesus. And the first thing you hear about that is you ain't worthy. And a lot of people don't like that. What do you mean I ain't worthy? Well, you ain't worthy to go to heaven. You ain't worthy to get around the Lord. We're like that leper standing far off and would not draw nigh. And that's all right. He draws nigh to us. It doesn't bother Him for Him to get close to us. Now, we might bother Him in our sins, and that's why God won't let us into heaven with sin. That's why you're going to die, even as a Christian. They're going to plant your body out here because it's not worthy. It ain't no good. He's going to give you a new body. And so you know a little bit about hell. You know a little bit about the wrath of God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Not to. I want to go to heaven when I die and live like the devil down here as long as I live. You got to quit hell. You can't go to heaven walking toward hell. You can't hobnob around with all this lower worldly stuff. All this stuff down here is but dung. And I'm telling you, if you ever really do get saved by the grace of God, you'll count it all but dung that you might win Christ. That's the way I felt about it when I got saved. Nothing down here mattered anymore. I was made to be content. And let me tell you something about a bunch of Baptists and the rest of them too. You ain't going to be content until you've been contented. You ain't going to get satisfied until you've been satisfied. And Jesus Christ satisfies the hungry soul. He said, if you'll eat of this bread, you'll never hunger again. If you'll drink of this water, you'll never thirst. And a lot of people are hungry and thirsty, and they're crying and squalling around after things they don't have, this, that, and other, because they've never been made content. It takes a work of the Spirit of God. And so, if we're going to have heavenly places, we got to know a little bit about some hellish places, worldly places, things of this world, places. I went to that hellish place over there, over here at this Walmart. That's one of the most hellish places there is. I hate Walmart. Now, I know a lot of y'all are infatuated with that, and you think God wants you to make get a good deal over there on something cheap, but you walk through there and go through that hellish crowd over there. You know, I tell my wife this all the time, and she's sitting right there, I'd rather pay a little more and not have to go through that mess and go a mile to get a jug of milk that never cost $3. It cost me $100 every time I go in there. Every time I walk past everything in there, she thinks about everything else she wants, and then I see some of that good ice cream and things I want, it's $100. I don't like that place, folks. I mean, you stop thinking about this. Look at what happens in our world today when you get a little ice storm and it stops them trucks from driving. 4 days, you ain't got nothing. Little prelude over in Texas, we get them in Louisiana all the time. You let a little storm come through like that, they didn't even have water over there. No power. Them poor souls are paying $17,000 for the electric bill and all that kind of stuff. You think we ain't messed up? Folks, we're hanging over hell on a cobweb. All God's got to do is just shut the switch off for about 3 or 4 days, and they'll be killing each other in the streets of Amory to try to eat something. You're going to see that. I imagine we're going to get to see some of this before we get out of here. No, I, it'd be nice but see, we need to be tried by fire. Jesus told Laodicea church, I counsel thee to buy me gold, tried in the fire, that you may be rich. We don't like the fire. No, we don't want to go through the fire trial. You know, heaven is worthy of us suffering for. Through much tribulation thou shalt possess the kingdom. Amen. And we don't want to go through nothing if somebody just don't like us, just like the preacher preached a while ago. He talked bad about me. Ooh, boo, boo, boo. We need a little bit of that. Toughen us up. Make us a little bit better. Amen. That's all right. I know what it is, cry and squall about it. My wife told me here a while back, she said, honey, when they're burning you at the stake, don't worry, just remember, it'll all be over with in just a little bit. If we keep preaching, let me step back up and say, if we would preach what we're supposed to preach, we wouldn't get along with this crowd. And when they find out what we really believe, and because y'all like social media so much, they're going to find it out. Folks, that cancel culture outfit, let me say this about cancel culture. I done canceled them 30 years ago. They don't have to cancel me. I got crucified with Christ. That crowd died me a long time ago, and I don't need their junk to live my life, and I don't like their junk to try to live my life. But that crowd, if they really... Listen, we're a whole lot more radical than who they're canceling out over there. These poor old boys out there, they made sports a god. Of course, it's always been a god, but it's a mighty big god now. And now all these sports figures, but if you don't line up with a bunch of these blacks, and Black Lives Matter, amen, and people, you just can't hardly say nothing about that nowadays because they'll come after you and they'll get you. And that's why so many people's joining up and all the corporate conglomerates are joining up. Folks, they put on the TV now, and I ain't had a TV for 32 years, and I'm glad I know. But they put on this TV now, this sodomite outfit, all this mixing up, mixed stuff everywhere, and I'm supposed to like that? I don't like that. Amen? And if we really preached and believed and lived and acted like we acted, it'd be a lot worse on us than what it is. I think God's going to uncover this thing. I think He's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. It's starting right now. It ain't bad yet, but it's coming. It's going to get worse. No, you say, well, coronavirus, they got everything. No, you think that bunch of Democrats are going to give up that power? They're not going to give that up. They're going to take more. It's going to be worse. They're after the First Amendment of our Constitution is what? The right for me to stand in this pulpit and preach what I believe. They don't have to like it. I don't like what they say. They talking about make that crowd mad. Well, what if they make us mad? Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. They're coming after our First Amendment, and they're going to get the Second Amendment first. The big push right now is that gun deal. And I know we ain't going to keep hell from coming to earth by guns. I realize that. But I got a constitutional right to have one. And if some nut walks through this church here, I hope y'all got somebody here that'll blow his head off before he kills my wife and grandkids. Amen? And I don't think that's sin. I think we have a right to defend ourselves. And so they're after us. Hellish places. The wicked shall be turned into hell with all nations that forget God. And our nations, not only we forgot, we just throwed him out. He's gone. And all of our institutions are falling. Our government institution falling. Our law institution. I got a deputy sheriff in my church. I tell him all the time, be careful. I'll be reading about you on the news. One little thing, if they can hem you up, short cut, haircut, white boy, amen. They'll make an example out of you. That poor old soul up there in Minnesota now, they're going, you know, and I'm not into it right or wrong, what he did. I'm just saying they ain't going to give that up. And let me say something else while I'm on that. That kid that went in there with that gun, that 17-year-old boy, don't do that. If they're going to burn down Minneapolis, if they want something from me, I ought to give them some matches. Don't go in there with a gun. Try to stop that crowd. Let them alone. Get away from that. Drove across the country out here today from Tupelo. I thought, this is a good place to live. Kind of looks like we're down there where I live. You go to these big inner cities and all that kind of stuff, and they're lighting things on fire and killing everybody and raping and pillaging and all that. Folks, that's just going to get worse. They're promoting that kind of stuff. Hellish places. I'm glad America's not my eternal home. I thank God for the liberty that I have here. But how can 50 million people, of course, I got some suspicions about the election. Everybody said, prove they stole it. They didn't steal it everywhere. They just stole it in a few precincts. They stole it in a few in Atlanta and a few up there and up there. And they got about 40,000 votes and they stole that election. Straight up stole it. Trump said the other day he got elected. If he runs again and wins, he'll be elected three times. And that's right. Amen. But Trump's not my savior. I don't even think he's saved. I just think he was God's man for America to slow this reprobate crowd down. Listen to me. There is reprobation in a moral sense, but there's reprobation in common sense. And we've lost our common sense in America today. And silent people have been made silent, scared to say anything, scared, you know. So anyway, hellish places. You got to know a little bit about hellish. Was you going to hell when God saved you, rescued you? Old Paul, Saul of Tarsus, was headed up that road to Damascus. He had one thing on his mind. He wanted to go kill preachers, kill the church members. And Jesus intercepted him. That's basically what he did to me. He intercepted. I wasn't a good church-going kid. I didn't want to go to church. I hated it when they made me go down there. Good thing I got out about going to church when I was a kid. I got to go home with my cousin. We could get in a little hell. Amen. And the Lord had mercy on me. And He intercepted me. And He saved me from the certainty of hell and destruction. Amen. And He did every bit of the work. He started it. He worked on it. And He completed it. Amen. And He saved me from the hell I was going to. Now you're not going to love a heavenly place if you've got any love for you in a hellish place. A lot of young people say, well, you know, I want to get married and have kids and do this and that. If you knew what troubles and trials and tribulations awaited you, you would. You'd be ready to go to heaven right now. I'll tell you what, we really have a good meeting. Instead of going home losing that, we just want to go to heaven. Paul said, I'd rather depart and be with Christ, which is far better. And the closer you get to God, the more you're going to think that away. Amen. Hellish places. We know a little bit about some hellish places. Look in chapter 2 here in the book of Ephesians. And you have to be quickened. And let me say this again. I'm just trying to exhort us here this morning. We need to have a quickening, ongoing quickening. Quickeneth. We need to keep on being quickened. Made alive, made alive, made alive. Now the preacher can't do that for you. The Bible says right here, and you hath He quickened. And if you keep on getting quickening, it's going to be because He quickeneth. And a lot of times, preachers take it to themselves. I learned a long time ago that it ain't up to me to get anybody convicted, anybody quickened, anybody regenerated. That ain't my work. Let me tell you something about this altar. What a lot of people need to do instead of going to an altar is go to Calvary. Because we've profaned God's altar down here, and you've got a bunch of preachers down here trying to make a name for themselves, and what they want to do is be a mediator. And they want to tell you, I don't have no confidence in any preacher that becomes a mediator and says, I can tell you they're saved. You ain't the mediator. You ain't writing His name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You don't know what their heart's going through. Oh, Saul of Tarsus had to wait 3 days before Ananias went over there. And Ananias said, I don't want to fool that hand. Let me tell you something. I've dealt with people. I don't want to fool them. I just don't want to fool them. God said, you go over there and deal with him. And for 3 days, without food or water, Saul was wondering if God was going to kill him. He said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? That's what most young people are, especially preachers. I like to preach to preachers over here. Lord, what you want me to do? I got to figure it out from here on out. God said, I ain't telling you nothing about what you do. You go over there and I'll tell you what to do. And what I want to say to us tonight is, or today is, and I told this over there to Brother Kirkman and Brother Ronnie last night, one of the biggest problems in our churches, we've ordained a bunch of novices in the ministry, and they went out and they've made patterns after their own life. Amen. Young preachers need to hear that. You need to be qualified. And just because you've been justified don't mean you're qualified. And these double married preachers say, well, you're telling me I'm not saved. No, I'm telling you you're not qualified. He said, well, I thank God did. I said, well, let your wife preach. Well, no, she can't. I said, why not? Well, she's a woman. She ain't qualified. And if you've been married twice, you ain't qualified either. Amen. So the preacher becomes the mediator. And the church wants him to do it and pays him to do it. And he gets down there and he's got real good psychology and psychiatric abilities. He knows how to connect with people and he gets professions of faith. Now I think we ought to be burdened. I think we ought to have a continual heaviness and a sorrow in our heart for lost sinners, especially them I know close to me. But folks, I'm not the mediator. No preacher is a mediator. It takes the Spirit of God to do all this work. And so God puts that in you, and you know that He delivers you from hellish places. Well, I was going to say, you had to quicken who were dead in trespasses and sin. Well, a dead person don't understand nothing. He can't think. He can't do nothing. He's graveyard call hammer dead. He don't know how to think. He don't know how to talk. What he's going to say. I don't know what. If anybody goes to the altar worried about what they're going to say, God ain't in it. If anybody goes to the altar wondering what they're going to say to the preacher, God ain't in it. You're worried more about what you're going to say, what you do, than what He does, what He says. It's a work of God. We have a part in it. He tells us to hear it. Be, so to speak, and swift to hear. We have to obey. what the Spirit tells us. And so he says, you are dead in trespasses and sins. We heard about it this morning. And here's what I'm saying. Nobody that's been born again. Now, we get in this age deal, and I pilfer in that a little bit. I preach along those lines a little bit, uncovering some stuff. This age of accountability for preachers, especially them success-oriented ones, gets real low. Real low. And that's something, and I know that don't get spoken of much, because you somebody in the crowd is going to say, well, I was this and I was that. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that God does the work. And you got to have, if you're going to claim a heavenly place and you've been born again, regenerated by the Spirit of God, you got to have a time past. Wherein in time past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air. You are acquainted with that. You know you're going to get delivered from that. You know you're in the wrong way. Now, let me say this. I'm going to just give some personal experiences, okay? My granddaughter is a very emotional, curly-haired, little, beautiful child. And if her mama gets around here squalling, she's a squalling. And it don't matter what mama's squalling about. She is big-time troubled about mama squalling. That ain't Holy Ghost conviction. That's not Holy Ghost conviction. My deal is I don't have an age limit on it, but they got to know something about who they are in Adam. God does that to them. Somebody come to me a while back and talked about somebody, you know, a kid and all. I said, hey, it was their child. And I said, listen, I don't care if they're 8 or 80. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. If I'm her daddy or mama, I got to see some old things passed away. You don't just tune up Adam. Something got to be gone. Amen. Now, I know children raised in a preacher's family who are striving for the advantage. What advantage then hath the Jew? Much in every way, because sheep done them were committed to oracles of God. I understand they've been made to do right. But still, all things are passed away. And all things have become new. Alright? And so I tell them, I'd wait on that. I'd wait a little bit on that. Because I'm telling you, hell is populated right now. And will be populated more and more till the day the Lord Jesus comes back by people that are too prideful to come off a profession of faith. They made something. Somebody led them down the Romans Road. I tell you what, you go down the Romans Road, you'll go to hell when you die. We ain't going to Rome. Everything about Rome, wicked. That wicked outfit over there don't know nothing about God. When they finished up with that first church at Rome that Paul went to over there, that bunch of popes. Let me say this. I say it every year when I get down there, and I can embellish this bigger, but I'll just say it. No Catholics are saved. You just ain't no way. You can't believe in no Pope. Mary's a co-redeemer. Here's where it gets to. I got a saved ex-Catholic in my church. Well, my grandma. I don't care about your grandma. Your grandma ain't the Savior. If your grandma gets saved, she's going to get off that Pope. She's going to recant. That's what our forefathers died for. We peddle the trail of blood and we don't even believe it. Amen? So anyway, according to the prince of the power hour, you know that. You had some hellish places among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. So there's got to be a times past. And the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and we're by nature children of wrath. We got to know something about that. That's how you get convicted. That's convicted. I ain't right. Let me say something else, too. I'm against this preacher crowd that preaches against the law of God as it pertains to salvation. You can't get saved by keeping the law because nobody kept it but Jesus. Matter of fact, I believe you're talking about 100% of grade. I think Jesus went beyond that. He said, you have heard it been said of them of old time, but I say to you, go further. What he told them was right according to the law. But he said, I tell you, you go further than that. Now, the only way we can go further than what the law requires, we go in Christ. And I'll get to that in just a minute. And so you got to know the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. You can't get, why would you ask God to forgive you if you don't know you trespassed Him? We're wicked. The best of us is wicked and no good and lawbreakers and deserve hell and not worthy of heaven. We ain't worthy of the God. We're not even worthy of God even visiting us. We don't deserve Him to come down here. We're too unfaithful for Him to come down here. If it wasn't for His own goodness, He wouldn't even fool with us. Amen. But His grace towards us is great towards us. And God has great things for His people. And He knows that we are but flesh. And the infirmities that we have. And so the Lord goes to great lengths for us. But we don't deserve it. I deserve to play the piano. You don't deserve to do nothing if you got that mentality. I don't go to meetings deserving to preach. Amen. You don't want to preach me? Fine. You ain't the only spot on earth God's got a squirrel up a tree. But preach somewhere else. Some of the best preaching I ever done wasn't done in the pulpit. Amen. Some of the best preaching you'll ever do is like Jesus with a woman at the well. Pool of Bethesda. It's amazing how the Lord gave us an example and we don't do what He did. Best messages you ever preached from is one-on-one messages. Let me tell you something. When He preached to a crowd, He always condemned that bunch. Condemnation, condemnation, condemnation on that Pharisee religious outfit. But when He preached salvation, when he saved souls, it's like Paul at the riverside, praise God. God opened Lydia's heart and she attended to the things that Paul said. He baptized her, means He was satisfied with her salvation. That's the kind of preaching we need. Instead of trying to get everybody in the whole town and get nobody, why don't we try to get somebody? Why don't you get after one? Why don't you pray to God, give me some grace to get after one that's walking according to the course of this world, the prince of the power of air. Amen. I tell you what people need, folks. They need preaching. This Bible study stuff ain't going to cut it. They're too messed up in Bible study already. You got every kind of Bible out there and every kind of doctrine out there and this, that, and the other. What people need is preaching, not sharing. I ain't down here to share nothing. Listen, I don't even share ice cream with my wife. She came over the other night. I had two bites left. She said, give me one of them. I said, nope. Nope. I said, I'll buy you a whole gallon. But I've been eating these two. I don't believe in sharing. I believe in preaching. Preach the word of God to them. Amen. Oh, there'll be some preacher will come through here this week and start talking about sharing. Paul didn't share nothing. He proclaimed. I know. I'm going to get away from it. And so the hellish places. Well, all heavenly places can only be known and attained in Christ. Let's read a few of those verses right here. Let's use the scripture. He says, all spiritual blessings, verse 3, in heavenly places in Christ. In verse 6, he says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, where He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. That's Christ. Verse 10, dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together all in one, all things in Christ. So if you're going to go to heaven, it's going to be because you're going in Christ. And Christ is in you. And I'll tell you something about that book of life over there. The names are written down in. Your name not written in the book of life. When He writes your name in the book of life, He writes His name in your heart. And if He don't write His name in your heart and Christ becomes preeminent and He is the most precious thing, He excels. Listen, let me tell you what you'll get. A total eclipse of the sun. He eclipses everything. Christ becomes your all in all. Unto you who therefore believe, He is precious. He's rare. There's no more like Him. His value cannot be weighed. He is the greatest thing. You'll go to the ends of the earth for Him. I'm up here this week not because I want to see Jacob Rutledge. I'm up here this week because I want to come up here and find some heavenly places in Christ. And I'm hoping you're wanting to get in some heavenly places too. You're too low on the totem pole. One of them boys in my church the other day got all these young men, you know, and they're all vying for position, jockeying. And so they say, well, so I say, well, that's like a totem pole around here. And you're facing on that totem pole. One of them newcomers said, where am I at on the totem pole? I said, you ain't even on it. You're buried down there under the dirt. He said, man, that's pretty low. I said, that's right where you are. The main thing preachers need to instill in young Christians is just how low they really are. Not all puffed up. Preachers and all. Amen. And so, you got to attain heavenly places in Christ. Jesus said, I am the way. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I'm going to, Lord, show us the way, and I'll decide how I want to get there. Amen. Me and Tim left last night to go over to Brother Ronnie's church. And he said, go down here. Man, I'm so turned around up there. There's so many roads converging together. I thought I was at a Baptist camp meeting. Amen. You want to get confused about going to heaven, go listen to a bunch of preachers. No, I'm just picking. Listen to me. I got over our Tim and said, we're going down here off 45. Well, I pressed that talking woman deal. And she sent me down to Natchez Trace. We didn't go the same way. I went this way. He went around the other way. We got over there. You know, I beat him over there, by the way. He should have went. But they said, Lord, show us the way. Let us get in on it. He said, I am the way. If you're getting in a heavenly place, you're getting there in me. He said, listen, God has given him power over all flesh. John 17:3, he's got power over all flesh. You know what? If somebody does get saved, you know why they're getting saved? You know why they come to the altar? It ain't be some preacher's tactics at the end of a message. They're coming to the altar because Jesus has power over that flesh. He's got power over all flesh. You say that's sovereign grace. No, I'm not. I don't even believe Calvinists are saved, much less to have the truth. Amen. Let me tell you something about a Calvinist, why I'm hitting that real good, and you can put this on one of them CDs and send it out. That bunch bypasses the cross. And you ain't going nowhere. It has to do with heaven if you bypass the cross. They get in this elected before the foundation of the world stuff in them. And that always leads to self-righteousness. And don't come to me with somebody's book, somebody selling back here, who's got some Calvinism with that outfit. I can preach just as much against that as I can preach for it. But Christ has power over all flesh. And when you get saved, He's drawing you. He is the quickener. He begins the whole process and works on you in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so you can only know that, attain unto that. Well, if you're going to go to heavenly places, you got to have a heavenly calling. Go to Hebrews chapter 3 right quick. Hebrews chapter 3. You got to have a heavenly calling. You better make sure it ain't a preacher calling. They call for sinners. They call for sinners. Well, listen, we're just mouthpieces. We're just spokesmen. You got to have a heavenly calling. Somebody, you know what Paul said about his conversion? I heard a voice from heaven. You got to have a heavenly calling. Brother, if you'll get a heavenly calling and you're in a hellish place and the Lord delivers you from that, you won't be worried about your salvation. Somebody spoke to you in words that men can't utter. I mean, it was me and God. And I'm telling us here this morning that a lot of times men get in the way of that heavenly calling. Look at what he says right here in chapter 3 of the book of Hebrews. He says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Heavenly calling. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let me hurry. First, Jimmy took all my time and then Jacob preached for an hour when he got up here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He said, we preach Christ crucified. That's the message. Not my wisdom, not my sermon, not my outline. We preach Christ. And by the way, let me just put this in here. If we taint, now it's messed up. The foolishness of preaching. I know we got flesh involved. But there's a line, I believe, with God to it gets into perversion. You can preach it gun barrel straight and the Holy Spirit be dead quiet. Nobody's quickened. Method's not right. Motive ain't right. I'm pilfering the glory. I want it for myself. We preach Christ crucified. Under the Jews, a stumbling block. They can't understand it. Under the Greeks, foolishness. They don't want to understand it.
Nobody understands it. Paul knows that right here. He said, but unto them which are called, I had a preacher one time run me slap out of church fellowship, because he said, that's calling preachers. I said, man, you out of your mind. That context there ain't calling preachers. Unto them which are called. You got to be called. He's got to call you. And the call has went out. And he tells you to hear it. He tells you to, listen to me. He gives the four types of soil. Wayside, rocky, thorns, and good ground. Do you expect when the word drops on that wayside, now listen before you answer, because a lot of people want to answer real quick. This is kind of tricky. Do you expect the word falls on the wayside soil to bear fruit? I don't. Why can't it bear fruit? Because the fowls of the air come and pluck it up. It's not covered up. It's not buried in, it don't get down deep enough. I don't believe anybody that receives the word on hard ground on the wayside can get saved. They can get saved. Amen. And so then you got the rocks, then you got the thorns. But the word that falls on the good ground brings forth fruit. Some 30, some 60, and some 100. And so what I'm saying to you is that when the word of God is preached, the call goes forth, but your heart's got to be right. And that's why we preach and preach and preach and preach. And let me tell you something. I call the third day in camp meeting the resurrection day. It takes 3 days to stomp the devil, get the world out. Listen, every woman that comes there to our church camp has got more stuff than the Sabians and the Malachites could haul off from down there at Job's house. But they get there and they got to go to Walmart. Well, when you there, Walmart's way. I mean, I tried to find the booniest place we could get. I don't even want cell service down there. Oh, we got to go to Walmart. Man, we passed 14 Walmarts coming up here. Yeah, but I got to go to Walmart. Bless God, I got to get out. And there's always that lead one that goes through the fence, you know. And they'll just, and two or three will get a hold. And I know there's some legitimate things and legitimate reasons. But every year, it's the same deal. We got to go. Listen, it takes 3 days to get that mess out of you. We end our camp. Every year I say, we need another week. Let me tell you something. The church needs to get saved first. Four sinners ever going to get saved. And so he says, not many are called. Look at what he says here. I got to hurry up. I'm about done. I'm going to do like Jimmy says. I'm going to say I'm about done four times. He says, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, smart folks. Man, this is stupid. Foolishness. Not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Now, I don't believe it's not that they don't hear the word. I believe the effectual call. The word getting, because they're too wise. They're too noble. They resist humility and meekness and being broken and unworthiness. So, the call never reaches into their heart to get covered in that good soul. But he says, God, they're not called, have chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen. So if God chose that, am I going to preach some other way? Am I going to preach wisdom of men? He goes over in chapter 2. He said, I determined not to. My preacher not with enticing words. Listen to me, folks. I'm fixing to say something. The preacher, I really need this. It don't take 17 hours to get a sermon ready to preach. I just don't believe that. You can do that, and it's wonderful to do that. But I'm telling you, I think this bleeds over in to my wisdom, and I can't make a mistake. Listen to me. You are a mistake. We are all mistakes. What if you didn't have a Bible? What if you was in a jail cell? What if you was put where Paul was? Could you preach to Agrippa? Could you preach to Felix? Would you, man, a computer to preach? Listen to me. Don't come to my church and open a laptop. Now, you can do it here. That's fine. But you're not doing it where I'm at. Because I'll have a church member out there on Facebook. We're not doing it. We're going to open the book. Not the e-book. Electronic book. But the old book. The bound book. Amen. Somewhere we got to stop this mess. Oh, look at me. I'm so smart. I got a laptop. But I'm smarter than you, and I don't have one. And I'm smarter because I don't have one. How about that? We can't live without a computer today. I tell you what, the Antichrist, it's just going to be so easy. Oh, it's just going to be so easy for him. You think people's going to give up all this social media? They're not going to give it up. They're drinking it like water, folks. And so he says, God has chosen the foolish things to bring an altar to things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And I'm telling you, God ain't going to give a preacher any accompaniment of power in the Holy Ghost if that preacher glories in the presence of the Lord when it comes to the gospel. Now, again, I know studying a long time is not studying so thyself approved unto God. But we worry so much about how it's going to look in my presentation. Not like it bleeds into sin. Amen. God wanted me to say it, and I said it. And so you've got your partaker of the heavenly calling. You tasted the heavenly gift. Look in Hebrews 6, and I'm done. Hebrews 6. You got to taste the gift. I mean, all this comes with it. Partakers of the holy calling. Tasted of the heavenly gift. He says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. What are we preaching on this morning? Heavenly places. The powers of the world to come. I've tasted of that. I've got it. Now, it's inner man. I ain't cured nobody, healed nobody. I ain't saved nobody. I hadn't done any miraculous work, but I've tasted the powers of the world to come. Down there in my heart, the Holy Spirit has supped with me of the powers of the world to come. And if we'll get some of that in our heart, he says in 1 Corinthians 15, as you have borne the image of the earthy, so you shall also bear the image of the heavenly. And right now I'm looking at earthy. Some of y'all are pretty earthy. We're all earthy. That means decaying. When this corruptible shall put on air. And we're going to partake of the heavenly. We got it already on the inside. We have the treasure in the earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're looking for heavenly places. We attain them in Christ. We've been called to them. We've tasted of them. That's what we're doing here. We like it. And we want much of it. Thank the Lord, Brother Jacob.